accession number 21111, reel 3.
Vincent Bolter, reel 3. So, after hill 112, you went where then?
Went to,
So, did you go to Con or did you go somewhere else first? Did you go to Con?
Con, yes.
You went there next?
Yes, yeah, right, yeah.
Right. So, what was going on there? Did you have an O group before that?
Yes, we had the O group to tell us where we was going. They always do that to main things, yeah.
Right, so what did they tell you about Con? Do you know?
Well, they don't tell you a lot. Like, they only tell you where you're going to move into and things like that. And they don't tell you what's happening because you don't know until you get there.
Right, okay. Yeah. So when you got there, what could you see?
Devastation.
Yeah. So it had been bombed, had it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Were the Germans still in the town?
Germans was outside the town, yes. Yeah. If you were to see in some of them, you would see them.
Yeah. So what did you have to do there? What was your job?
It was a lot of it was to where the devastation was, and of course you had to move forward, was... Companies had to go and build bridges and clear mines. Yeah.
So what were you doing? Were you doing mine clearance or bridging? Or
not at the time, no. But the company was.
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, you were driving, were you?
I drove, yeah, lots of places, yeah.
Yeah, you were driving officers, were you?
Officer and all the Royal Engineers and all, taken to different places. You had to move to different places, see?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So what was the atmosphere, because you, like then, because you were really busy now, weren't you,
your company? Yeah. Well, it was all, you take it as it comes. Mm. I, being, and you see, it didn't make no difference, I was happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, that's right. So how long were you at Con?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Now you're going to ask some questions that it's really impossible to tell you,
yeah,
though I'd
I
like
that,
to.
Yeah. You're, that, yeah.
What you've got to do is find the different things to see, because at my age, I'm 85 in April, yeah. So in my age, I can't remember things, and of course that's 50 or something years ago.
Oh, yes. No, I just keep asking. Yes,
you ask. If I can answer,
I
will.
I expect you to remember everything.
I'd be a genius if I...
That's right. So after Con, you went on to where after that?
Oh, I forget where you went to different places. You'll have to look it up in one of these books.
Sorry to say. No, we just want what you remember.
Well, I haven't got a good memory for them.
Yeah. So what about characters in your company?
We was good.
Remember some of the characters?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah. As I told you about Jock Baird, I'm not. Now, forget where places are, as I told you then. Now, we went at one place and clearing mines. So you had clearing mines and all of that. And Sergeant Adams was in charge and all of that. And I was clearing mines and a sniper hit a tree. And Sergeant Adams said, "Well, lads," he said, "what should we do?" And the flash of lightning, Roy Mathar said, "Carry on, he's a bad shot." And we went somewhere, we had a new fellow come into the company, he's only young, and we was clearing some mines, and they was what you call shoe mines. They were mines what you couldn't detect with a detector. They was wooden. It had a lid on, and if you stepped on the lid... So it went up. And we had a young fellow going, and he was going into the minefield, and one of them blew up. It blew his leg down. And Jock Baird, he went to save him. See? And of course, it blew his leg off. And when we got up to him, he said, "There you are, lads," he said. "I told you I'd be home before Christmas." He was a lad, he was. We had some good lads there. Yeah.
Where did he come from?
Ooh, from Scotland, yeah. He had a carbuncle on his neck. See, and of course he had to go to the MO. And them days they had a bottle. You put a bottle on the carbuncle. And the MO said to him, Mel Sabri said, "Do that pull. Pull me bugger." He said, "See that truck over there? That pull that away." We had some really good characters. Yeah. And it was all my... I had Sergeant Fullerton, Ginger Fullerton. As I told you, I was called Pim. I was going, "Pim," he said, "don't be frightened or anything. I'll look after you," he said. And, of course, he was a fellow. He used to check all our rifles. And they used to have to put cartridges up on the wall or something. And used to hit them there to make sure everything was correct. "I'll look after you, Pim," he says. "You don't worry." And one time when we was in some place, now, Ginger Fullerton, he was Irish. There was Jotham, he was a cook and all that. And, of course, when we was in France, we used to be by a cognac factory. Of course, what happened? Or they went stealing the cognac, see? And then we was in a house or something, and they was upstairs, and then, of course, we had to carry our rifles over there. And to see if anything funny was to see Jock and Ginger Fullen coming down the stairs. They comes down two, goes back one, and that we all stood laughing and everything. Of course, they've been drinking and everything with this cognac. And when he got down to the bottom, old Ginger Fullerton, and they was both mates, hit him with his rifle on his head and cut his head. So afterwards, when we got on parade the next morning, the officer said, "What's done with your head?" He said, "My mate hit me," he said. So he turned round to Ginger Fullen, "Did you?" "I don't know," he said. "I didn't know I'd done it." But there you are, see. But they were still good mates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you manage to pick up quite a few little bits and pieces, like the cognac or bits to eat as you went through France?
Well, as I told you, being Ares was up in the front, we managed to do things. I managed to get a camera and all that, and see, and that's why some of the photographs I'm not in it, because I took the photographs. Yeah. But when we left Caen, before we went into Falaise, I think it was, we got into, I forget what the place was. We got in there, and then, of course, all the French was singing, "Oh, Tipperary," and things. And a lady come along in front, and she started talking to us. She can talk English. And all of a sudden, one of the French grabbed hold of the back. Took her, we was in a square, took her in the square. There was a horse and cart there, and a chair on the top. They got hold of her, they put her on this chair, tied her up and everything. Got a big pint of red paint, they cut all her hair off, and got this red paint and made a big swastika on her head. And then they drove her out, and everybody was throwing eggs and tomatoes and everything. And they said she was introduced herself to the Nazis.
What did you think of that when you saw that?
Well, she was one of the enemies. What did that? Yeah, but there you are. Yeah. And also, another thing, as we was going along, we came to a big shed. Well, not quite so big as this. And of course, nosy as we was, we opened this shed to see what was in it. Inside it, in two halves, was all bodies laid on top of one another, all lady bodies and different things, right to the top. Really? Now, they must have been Jews.
Oh, really? Where was this?
Well, it was just, I think it was after Falaise.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. So, who do you think had killed them?
Well, it was the Germans, wasn't it? They was, I suppose they was Jews, I suppose. Yeah, you see these things, but nobody hears of it. It's only people like you know who hear these things.
Because you were only a young man. What did you think when you saw horrors like that?
Didn't think of anything. No. You don't, when you're in the war time, like, you don't think of anything like that. You...
So did you have the medical officer? Was he with your company?
Oh, yes, you had a medical, yes, because I had a lump come on my arm, yeah, a carbuncle or something, they got. And it was all right, thing. But in the night, when I got in the morning, there was this big lump. So I had to show it, see, so they said, oh, and it was a Canadians was with us. He said, well, go to the MO over there. So we said, I said then, oh, he said, how long had that? I said, oh, and you come up in the night, sir. He said, well, you, he said, you hold his arm, he said, yeah. And he got a little knife, and without anything, he cut it straight across. And they wrap it up, he said, you'll be all right.
So how were you managing for food all this time? What were you eating?
Well, what was we eating? Well, McConaughey's out of a tin.
What's McConaughey's?
Well, that was all... meat, and you ask any soldier what a McConaughey is, a tin and all that, and you had, and then we didn't have any bread for over 6 weeks before we had white bread, and then we only had a half a slice. You had these biscuits and everything, you know, and McConaughey's and anything. Of course, we engineers, we was crafty, as I say. And when we was in France, we thought, well, of course, we was more loose on the infantry, you see, a lot more. And we said, anybody could speak French. So one fellow said, yes. He said, well, we want some eggs. There's a farm over there. Go over and ask him for some eggs. So he went over there, he said, knocked to the door. Good morning, monsieur, or something and all that. He said, good morning, big bugger. He said, I'm English, I married a French woman. What do you want? He said, we want some eggs. And he gave us some eggs. Yeah. Good morning, big bugger, he said.
Did you find things that were abandoned by the French people, you know, who'd evacuated? Or?
Well, to be honest, I didn't trust the French. No.
Why was that?
Well, many of things you could see, because some mornings you can hear some shooting and all that, and they was shooting their own sort of people or something, you know, but there was always something fishy about a Frenchman. I still don't like them now. Mm. I couldn't trust them.
Did you manage to sort of live off the land at all? Did you, catch pheasants or anything like that?
Well, when we had a butcher in our company, and one day, it's going out, and we had this truck, and we caught a pig, and we put this pig in this truck. Well, it was got squealing about and anything, and it got out. So we had to get another one. So we got another one, and we took it back to the camp. And of course, we had this butcher, and he hung it up. He cut his throat and let it drip in there. And we had pork for a long time. With old Jock Baird, as I told you, was we said, there's a farm there. He said, got chickens. He said, we'll go and get some chickens. We'll get some eggs. So we went along. First morning, we managed to find out where these eggs are, took them back. And Next morning when we got there, there was no eggs. Old Jock Bird said, "Don't you worry, lads," he said, "I knows how to get eggs," he said. He picked up a chicken, turned it back to front, squeezed it, and he had egg come out. So we had a company of lads, they was. Yeah. Yeah. So see, though the wartime was on, we made the best of it. Mm.
So you managed to look after yourselves quite well.
We engineers did.
Yeah, yeah. How did you cook things?
Well,
like the pork, for instance.
Yeah, well, you had open fire at times, but then you also had a big, like, a Bunsen burner thing, you know, and cook it on there. You with petrol and pumping all that. We moved to one place. We had to move into a big barn, and they set this thing to go in and all that. All of a sudden, it caught fire, burnt the barn down. We had to get find somewhere else. We used to call him the Black Abbot. He used to, yeah, well, when he used to cook, he used to be as black as any, with soot or something.
Right. So, the next place he went to was Falaise, was it?
Falaise, just after Falaise. But when we got to Falaise, as I said, all the animals seemed to be moving. Of course, when you got up to them, they was moving because there was thousands and millions of maggots. And of course, with these moving, you made the and then you had the tanks with burnt bodies in, and the smell was terrible.
So you came upon Falaise. What were you doing? Were you driving up the road? Or?
Yeah. Well, we all went as the company. See, all the company goes together, and all the infantry and different things all.
Yeah. So, of course, you'd heard that we'd wiped out the Germans at Falaise before you got there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It was us going through there what pushed them away. Right. See, because we was in the front lines.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you do any engineering work as you went
through? No, not through there. No, it was just...
Right. So that must have been quite a sight.
Yeah, see, of course, and then... Where, as we got for, they all had to be moved and something and buried there was because, well, you didn't know. There was horses dead, cattle, poor Germans in the tanks where they'd been trying to get out and they'd been burnt to death and all things. It was a horrible sight. You can't really explain it so people can understand it.
Yeah, yeah. This was in the summer, wasn't it? Was it a sunny day when you went through there?
Oh, yeah, it's 2 or 3 days. And of course, it's hot. Mm-hmm. Some, yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when you was moving along, there used to be notices up. Dust, be careful, something. Dust, if you the dust, the enemy can see the dust and everything. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there was different signs up. Pardon?
Did you spray the roads at all to keep the dust down?
No, we don't have time for that.
Yeah. Okay, what were the other signs they had up?
I think that. There was 2 or 3 signs up, I know. Something about something saves lives or something, I can't remember now. There was different things to warn you and all that, yeah.
So, after Falaise, where did you go then?
Oh, you have to find in the history books and all, okay. Because we went to different places and all. Yeah. I remember, like, Roermond, when we was at Roermond.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, we was one side of the river, like, and the Germans was the other side, and they was in a big building. It was like a tower. And they can see us, and we can see them.
Right.
We could see them going for their meals, and they can see us going for the meals. Right. But there was nothing being done then, yeah. And that was at Roermond.
So where were you actually?
We was down here, and the Germans was up in this big... That was the lookout. It was like a church tower.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how long were you there? Were you there a long time,
You was there so long, and then you soon as the headquarters says the thing. See, because them days you caught leapfrogged. So One part of the army would go to a certain place. We say they go to Roermond. Well, then they'd tell us next time that we must go over, pass Roermond and go somewhere else. So you, what you called leapfrog. Yeah. So all the infantry and everything came and all that. Though we done the bridges and they done all the fighting and all right. that.
So you were driving most of this time, were you?
A lot of time, yes. Yeah.
So did you do any bridge construction?
I done some, yes. You know.
Do you remember where that was?
No, but it's, I couldn't tell you offhand. Yeah. Uh-huh. But when the Royal Engineers done bridges at night, I don't know where you ever heard it, they use Montes Moonlight. Have you ever heard of Montes Moonlight? Well, what it was as you built the bridges, the searchlights would all went up in the air and they met so that the light would shine down on the building the bridges. While the bridges were being built, we had the infantry round to give us a guard and all that. Yeah. And it was one night that to do a, there was three bridges. A German bridge, a neutral bridge, and a British bridge. And they had to be dismantled, blow the middle bridge up. And of course, before we, it wasn't to be done at night, and of course we was all playing about, we was playing football with a piece of rag and all that. And then at night, early in the morning, all of a sudden, a sniper caught one of our fellas, Hughes his name was, and shot him straight through the... That's the only person we lost at there.
Really? He was killed.
But we lost people with the going over mines. And one fellow, he was in a half cast, half track, you know, and a mine blew him up. And when they tried to collect him, there wasn't a half a sandbag full with him. And another thing the engineer has done, Air Sergeant Major... We carried wooden crosses, you know. And if any of their fellas got killed and we had to bury them, we buried them. Of course, we had your identity, you had the rifle in the cabinet, and we put flowers on there, and we always put a cross there. And the sergeant major would take a photograph and send it to their family. That's what we done. That's the 282.
Yeah. Can you remember a particular burial that you...
No, remember? No, because we even buried some Germans. We buried an officer at one place outside a big piggery. There was all these pigs running about and all that, and there was a German officer that said, but he was, you know, because when we first went into France... But they didn't have time to pick up these bodies. There was German bodies lying all over the place. And you, as days go by, you gradually see them going blacker and blacker. See, but the Pioneer Corps, after they come in, they done all the back work.
Yeah. So, you went on. Where did you go? Do you remember where you went after? You were getting up towards, where did you go, Holland or?
Oh, yes, we went... We went into Holland, yeah. The, isn't Roermond in Holland?
I'm not sure, it might be.
Yeah. I know when we was there, the Germans tried to flood us out. They let all the things and they flooded, yes.
Did they?
Yeah.
What, they broke her down?
Well, with the things, yes, they done things to try to flood us out.
Right. Yeah. Where were you at that time? Were you?
Well, we was all rained. Yeah.
What was the land like? Was it very
flat, wet? Yeah. Mm. No, we found the Dutch people very, very good. Of course, when we moved up, and we had to commandeer places. We had to say, well, unfortunately, you move eight. That's ours. We had to say, but we found the Dutch good. And the Dutch people then, their little cottages, they lived in the kitchen, and just through the kitchen, all their animals was at the, next to it. So they looked into their living rooms and all that. All the animals was outside. Yeah. There's a photograph of me where it was slow bound one time.
Mm. Oh, right. So you were there in the winter then?
Oh, yes.
Mm. Was it a hard winter?
When we went into the Rochefort Forest, it was. Mm. Even the antifreeze froze.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you, before you went into the Reichswald, where else did you go? You went to Holland and then, did you go towards Antwerp?
To be honest, I can't really keep connecting to the place we went. But I know one place was that, and it was at night, and an aeroplane came over. And we see this aeroplane, and me and old Bill Coakley, we was in a farmhouse then, and we dived underneath a table, whether that was going to happen or not. But this aeroplane come round, and it dropped flares in four different places. And that lit up everything. So any movement, they can see. So we would under the net, but nobody was allowed to move. We dived under where it done us any good, but that's what we done. And these flares, brilliant. Brilliant flares. It lit up everything.
So were there any bombers about? Or was
That was what they was for, to find out if anything was about. See, with it, all this, because they come down on like little parachutes. Mm. All this brilliant light it was.
Extraordinary. Yeah.
So you're learning a bit now, aren't you?
Oh, yes, yeah. You must have lots of memories of sort of individual incidents like that, little moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't lose many people from your company then?
No, not... Well, when you realise it, if you're right up the front, everything was going over you. See, the infantry and the artillery was at the back. They had to be at the back to get across. Well, we was up the front. We was, mind you, there was times when we've laid in on the floor and we've seen the shells come just in front of us. We laid on the floor, on the ground, right? And we see these shells come. Only a few yards, but being laying down, everything went up. But we could see the... And another thing, what you can see too, was when the bombs was coming, you can see the bombs dropping. And where you thought the bombs was coming that way, it come the opposite way. You could see them coming down.
Yeah.
And you can also hear the shells coming across. And he used to say, that's passing us. And we come to the doodle bombs. We come into going up, see, and they started sending these doodle bombs over. And when we was just outside the Rochefort Forest, we was in a chateau. Believe this or believe it not, we was in this chateau. And we used to hear this doodle bug, and it used to go blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as the engine stopped, then that was exploded. So one day we was in this doodle bomb come, we heard it, it's past us, and it hit this mountain. And we was in this chateau, and we had the table laid for us to have a meal when we goes in places. And of course we had the lorries outside this chateau. And true as I'm standing here, we looked out of when this gone, there was a knife, fork and spoon and a plate laying on top of one of the lorries. Just as though it's picked up like that and dropped it like that.
Amazing. Mm. So you were in that chateau before you went into the Reichswald?
Yes, yeah.
So it was very cold then?
Oh, cold. Yeah. That was cold, yeah. Mm.
That's Vincent Bolter, end of reel 3.